right, cue the fanfare. That means it is time for another movie review from our movie critic, Matt Olien. And Matt, this is one of those films where it doesn't really matter what any critic might say. People are going to go see it, right?
I call it critic-proof. That's a critic-proof movie. And this is now becoming kind of a franchise.
Godzilla versus
Kong. Okay. And we go back to the Godzilla reboot, I think, 6 years ago. Then we had Skull Island with Brie Larson. I think that was 3 years ago. And so those all kind of feed into this, which is now Godzilla versus Kong. The title says everything you need to know. They're going to fight. They're going to throw down. They're going to get after it in this movie. So it's basically an old-time monster movie from the 50s where Godzilla unprovoked, seemingly, attacks this building in Florida, which is actually a company that is up to nefarious activities. Demian Bashir, a fine Mexican actor, plays kind of the head of this corporation that, yeah, they seem like they're good, but they're really up to no good. As is often the case in these monster movies, somebody's up to no good, and it's provoked Godzilla.
Yeah.
So, of course, the scientists are called in, as they always are in these movies, and they have to kind of do battle with the Army and the Navy. You know, we want to see if we can figure out what's going on, and then they bring Kong into it, and, you know, it's just crazy. But, you know, for right now, as we hopefully near the end of this pandemic, this is exactly what the box office needed. This
escapism.
Film, this we might look back, Ashley, and say this movie saved theaters because it grossed $40 million its first weekend, which is crazy considering, you know, they're still spacing people out of the theaters. Mm-hmm. When I go, you have to wear the mask, and it was crowded when I went, but it wasn't a typical Friday night opening pre-pandemic where you couldn't get a seat to a movie like this. So taken on its own terms, it's fine. It's CGI heavy. There's some good actors. Rebecca Hall, Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown plays the daughter of a scientist, and she is kind of a stowaway situation. There's a journey to the Earth's core. There's all kinds of stuff going on scientifically that make absolutely no sense, but that's okay because we're dealing with a giant lizard and a giant ape as well. So, but this is escapism fantasy movie. For what it is, it's fine. I would not say it's a great monster movie, but I think for 2021, this is exactly what theaters needed. It's exactly what the box office needed. Mm-hmm. Go to a mindless monster movie where CGI monsters are fighting each other and scientists are trying to figure out how to save the world, how to save cities, how to get Godzilla to stand down, how to get Kong and Godzilla to kind of fight each other and then maybe get along later. There's all kinds of little things going on. And there's always evildoers run amok, too. Demian Bashir, as I mentioned, is the head of this massive corporation that is up to no good and might have something to do with what's going on. So if you just want some mindless entertainment, this is the movie to go see.
Well, that mindless entertainment, you know, movies in this vein, they tend to be more thought of, at least after the fact, as known for their technical achievements. Mm-hmm. Does this film kind of push the boundaries of our technical achievements?
Yeah, I would say the CGI is good. It's, you know, I can tell what's going on because I know how these movies are made. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly how they're edited together and, you know, things are done in post-production. So I still like the old-time King Kong from the 30s. Ray Harryhausen was a genius. He did Jason and the Argonauts and things like that. And it's kind of that stop-motion animation monster stuff that looked so good on the screen. And, you know, for me, nothing will ever quite top that. You know, skeletons coming out of the ground and Jason and the Argonauts and sword fighting to stop-motion animation. So the CGI is what it is. It's cost-effective. It's the way to do movies like this. You know, some of the actors are good. I really like Rebecca Hall. She's one of the scientists who knows a few things. But really, the scene-stealing performance is Kaylee Hoddle as Gia, and she is this little girl who does not speak, but she sort of communicates with Kong. It's kind of this, you know, just like with the original King Kong, you know, Fay Wray was able to calm the beast down, mm-hmm. and this little girl can kind of talk to Kong in sign language. Those scenes are actually pretty good. She's able to communicate with Kong, find out what he's thinking, find out what he wants to do. And she's really the linchpin in the whole movie.
Okay. In the last iteration of Godzilla versus Kong, there is what some would say a clear winner. Mm-hmm. Do we get that in this one? Are you going
to
say?
I can't say. Okay. You have to go see it.
All right.
Let me just say there is a third party that joins the battle. A third.
Is it Wonder Woman?
No.
No.
No. This is you'll have to go see what I'm talking about.
Of course,
but
she wouldn't be a monster.
There's quite a melee at the end. Let me just say that. All heck breaks loose.
All right. Well, this film did get an Oscar. You know, it's not getting Best Picture, that kind of things. Back in the 1930s, this first version of it did get a technical achievement award. Who got that and why?
So you want the name of the person?
Yeah.
Is it Marion C. Cooper? He directed it. He directed King Kong. Oh, mm-hmm. Ernest Shodzak. Is that his name?
Fred Jackman,
and that's right.
And Sidney Saunders.
Okay.
That's who got it for their development and effective use of the translucent cellulose screen in composite photography.
Okay.
Really rolls off
for
the tongue.
For King Kong, 1933, right?
All right. Yep. Well, and speaking of Oscars, we do have the first Oscars in a pandemic world. The last one, you know, narrowly escaped. And now, what are your predictions for this Oscar season?
What a strange year. A lot of these films never appeared in a theater. It's very strange. You know, Trial of the Chicago 7, things like this, just they were not in theaters because the rules were bent for this year. So I think it'd be dumb to pick against Nomadland for Best Picture. It's won all the awards leading up to it. Chloe Zhao is probably going to win Best Director for Nomadland. I think when you get to the acting categories, Ashley, the supporting awards are easier to predict. Daniel Kaluuya has emerged as the front runner for supporting actor in Judas and the Black Messiah as Fred Hampton. So I believe he'll win. And in the Best Supporting Actress category, it now appears that Minari, South Korean actress Yoon Jung-yoon, has emerged as the favorite. She's won a lot of critics' awards. She won the BAFTA. And I do think she's going to win for the wonderful movie Minari. Now, where things get tricky, our lead actor, lead actress. No one has been able to break away from the pack in the Best Actress category as kind of the clear front runner, the way Renee Zellweger did last year for Judy. It was thought for a long time that Carey Mulligan, it was her award to lose for Promising Young Woman. I think she should win. I think she will eke out a very, very close vote and win. The problem is Viola Davis won the SAG for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and she's great in it. And Frances McDormand won the BAFTA for Nomadland.
Mm-hmm. And she's already got two.
And she's got two, and Viola Davis has one. So the theory here, this is my theory, is Viola Davis and Andra Day in The United States versus Billie Holiday are both in kind of music biopics. And so that might split that vote a little bit. McDormand has two Oscars. And so I think Mulligan will win almost by default because it's a very showy performance. It's an interesting performance. It's a very good film. And keep in mind, there's a high volume of Academy voters that are British. And so that could help Carey Mulligan out as well. Best Actor, I'm starting to think this is going to be closer than I thought it was going to be. So Chadwick Boseman has passed away. Mm-hmm. And certainly he's great in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, but there's also a sentimental factor there to award him a posthumous Oscar. It's happened twice before, Heath Ledger and Peter Finch. But Anthony Hopkins just got the BAFTA. And again, there's a high degree of Academy voters that are British, and Hopkins is very well respected. I've seen all five Best Actor performances. I would vote for Anthony Hopkins. I think if Chadwick Boseman was alive, and I wish he was, Hopkins would win. But I think that the sentiment is toward Boseman to win this award. So I think it's going to be a very close award, but do not be surprised if Hopkins wins his second Best Actor Oscar because he's that good in The Father. It is a must-see performance that will break your heart. But if Boseman wins, that's fine as well.
All right. Well, we will tune in this Sunday to see how those predictions bear out. We've been to the movies with Matt Olien.